Right, before I start, I'd like to thank you for your prayers that you for me, and also for the money you gave me. We put a bit more to it, and they emailed me to say that they bought 3 new computers for the students. So, thank you all for the help with that. As some of you know, I've been going to Uganda for about 10, 11 years. My husband used to come with me, but he doesn't now because he's in ill health sort of thing. So this time, for the second time, I went on my own. But I'm never on my own because God's with me. Sort of thing. So when I get there, I was picked up by the Reverend Isaac. This man was a street child. And when I mean, a lot of people know about me. But when he was there, he put all these children, all these people in a barn, and he set us alight. And one of these men, one of these children was this man. So him and his brother ended up on the street. No shoes, no education. And along came this man. I think he was a minister. And he was making, he was putting the Bible into Ugandan. And he was speaking to him and his brother. So he ended up sending him to school. And then from this, Isaac said that he hated God. Because of what, you know, the life he's had, sort of thing. Because over there, if you've got nothing, you've got nothing. The only thing he can eat is bananas off the trees. There's nothing else. So anyway, this man persuaded him to come to England and to go into being a minister, which he did, and he came to the Lord. But out of this, he started an orphanage with 7 children under the tree. And that was it. And he was feeding these 7 children. But as the years went on, and with this gentleman's help, he actually opened an orphanage. Now he's got 750 children in the orphanage. He takes these children in. He has the infants, he has the juniors, and he has the seniors. And I've been to all of them, but I tend to go to the seniors more than the infants. Yeah. And what he does is he brings them in, and he has teachers to teach them, so they're taught how to, how to education and that. And then, sorry, wait a minute. So,
do you want to drink, Louise?
Yes, please. He teaches them to be mechanics, and he teaches them to be cooks. They make beautiful cakes, so they can go out and they can earn money. So when I got there, it takes about 5 hours to get to the orphanage. The only thing with Uganda is it's very large, and all you'll ever do is travel. 3 hours, 4 hours is nothing. Some of the roads are all right now, a lot better than when I first went there, but some of them are very difficult, big potholes and that in them sort of thing. Anyway, when I got to the orphanage, they were having a party because it was the end of term. They're on the holidays now, till February. Though it's there in winter, it's very hot there, you know. It doesn't get cold. They have rain, that's all they have. So they have dancing and that. And what they do is there, when they celebrate anything, you don't have nothing to eat. You're lucky if you might get some water in it, but otherwise you don't get anything. But that's their parties, because they don't have the money to do anything else. So I was there all day, and they'd done a party. And then I'd done the presentations for the students, which the photos are there, and, you know, for the different things they were doing, the mechanics, because they go to school there till they're 18. And then from then, they go to university, if you're good enough. But Isaac has this system. The children are not very good. He has, someone bought a farm a long time ago. So he grows his own stuff. And the children are not as clever as other children. He sends them, they get taught at the farm, but they also get taught to look after themselves, to grow things. Looking after chickens, because chickens there are the be-all and end-all. You know, because if you've got a chicken, you've got an egg. You know, so so that, so you don't sell the chickens, you don't cook to that extent. So we had this party, and then from there I stayed in this. I must admit, all the week, all the 10 days I was there, I never had a hot shower, because you're lucky if you get water in some of the places I go to. And so from there I was taken to a hotel, what they call a hotel, and I stayed overnight. And then we travelled again for 5 hours, 6 hours I think it was. Very, very hot day it was. Anyway, from there we went to where they call Ginger, which is the source of the Nile.
Right.
And it's very, very pretty. It's a beautiful country, Uganda. Yeah. Very pretty where it is. And we were going to see some ladies I'd met a couple of years ago. And they'd all lost their husbands with AIDS. And it was a little tiny village, and they couldn't, well, they don't speak English. But when you go in, they're a bit frightened because they go, and they're all doing it, and you're thinking, they're screaming. And at first, when you first see it, it's quite frightening sort of thing. But the lovely women, and what they'd done, the first time I met them is, when we went up to Ninja, what they'd done is, they had half of a building, and these women had actually built the rest of it. And they'd asked Isaac, but they sent somebody, because they couldn't read, couldn't write, no money, but very dirty, and they asked him, could he come up and send someone, which he sent a teacher. And this teacher taught them how to read and write. Brilliant. They can do money. Yeah. And when I went back this time, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
They've got so many, Isaac got them sewing machines, they make clothes for schools, get the money in. And the children are going to school. Because in Uganda, you go to school till you're six. And then after that, you've got to pay. So no one goes. Because if you've got 15 or 20 children, which is nothing there, you can't afford them to go. So in that way. So I was so pleased to see them. And it even put, the ladies used to walk 3 miles to get water. And they put a pump in. And in the photos you'll see, these had us in 2 months when I went. And they're also building schools for the children. And they will not have to pay to go to the school. Yeah. So, which is good.
Yeah.
And then from there, I was invited. Well, I did tell Dennis. This new bishop had been, this minister had been made a bishop. And he invited me to go and talk to them. With about Mother's Union. Well, I'm in Mother's Union in March. I've been before March, somewhere where else I lived. Anyway, I went up to the house, but his wife was was interested in Mother's Union, but she couldn't speak a word of English. So they had to bring some of the ministers' wives came. Most of the ministers' wives came, and they asked me different questions about. What they do here in Ely and that. And they thought that Ely would give you money. But they don't. You've got to be self-sufficient.
Yes.
And they're looking at me and they're saying, but the church, the diocese. I said, no, you've got to be self-sufficient. I said, you're here. You're not here to help you. You're here to help them out there.
Yeah.
So
very good.
The discussions we've done, was like what we do in Mother's Union. We collect things and we give them the community, tell them about all the refugees here, because I think they think we live a life of Riley.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So I think they need to be told sometime. I think, you know, it's those things. And also I tell the minister's wives, well, it was a bit, because when you see children there with no shoes on their feet and they're carrying water, and the 3 years of age, it does upset you sort of thing. And when you go right out, you do see us a lot. Not so much in Kampala and all that. So I told them that the job God had given them, I think, was that you should go out and look after the people, the community, and what they should be there for. I told them about collecting things and going out and giving it to them. And that way, and also it helped as you know, the diocese sort of thing. So, unbeknown to me, they asked me to stay another day. So they took me to this complex. It was British, and the High Commissioner lived in this house that I was staying in. But when you went in, it wasn't like English at all, sort of thing. But I was telling someone, it's funny, because the lady was lovely, and she come in and she took me to this room, and she said, there's a shower there, no towel, no soap, no toilet paper, nothing. But someone said, well, how did you know? I said, because I've been here a couple of... So you lean as the years go on, sort of thing. And she was... So in the evening, because she couldn't speak English, she asked one of her servants, a young lad, to come and speak to me. And he said, what would you like for tea? You can have chicken, or you can have fish. So I said, I'll have chicken. I love chicken. So he says, I'll have chicken. So anyway, they had a great veranda, and I kept going out there because it was so hot. But the time of the year, it was really hot. Anyway, he goes out on the veranda, and unbeknown to me, there was a young girl, and when I turned round, there's a young girl standing there, killing the chicken. And then sat there and plucked it. And it, for me, is you're in one world and then you're in another.
Yeah.
Because these women were sitting on the floor in the dust with tins, with fire in, cooking. Because they boil everything, not get roasted. And they're cooking the chicken in this tin. And you're thinking, it is funny. So the next day, they asked me to go to the diocese and speak to all the ministers. Well, I did speak to them and they asked me questions. But as I said to them, it's all right me telling them what I think. I don't know anything about the hierarchy of the diocese.
No.
You know, I'm just, I go to Mother's Union. But I also said to them about going out to the community. The bishop ended up saying that I had a heart for women and children.
very good. Yes.
Which is true,
yeah.
You know, sort of thing. Because I don't think women are second-class citizens there.
Yeah.
And they don't get supported at all, you know. So I went to them and I said, what they need to do is look up from their angle, not mine. Because I don't live in Uganda, so they need to look at the way it's best for them. So, as I say, they were asking all these questions. And then from there, next day, I got picked up again. So I stayed with them for 2 days. And she was lovely. So what I'm going to do, I'm sending some information over to them about... not having children and that, because they are interested in that.
Yeah.
The bishop was. He was a lovely man, but as I say, they have their ways and we have ours, sort of thing. And then from then on, I went further up to Ninja. Last time I was there, they have like a Christmas party, and what they do is they go onto Lake Victoria. It's beautiful. And what they usually do is all the children come in these big because they grow their own stuff, they have like lorries, and they all just get on it, like here, they're hanging out, but here you couldn't have it, but that's the way it is there. And then what they usually do is bring great big pans, and then they boil everything, what they do is they stay there for the day, and they have a pop once a year. What they call pop. So we had one of those days. But last time I was there, I was sitting with a teacher talking, and this young girl came up, and she was very dizzy, and she was selling mangoes. And she was talking to the teacher, but no one would go near her. So later on, I said to the teacher, why is it no one would go near to her, you know? So she said, she's got AIDS. So she said, you think here, It's a stigma.
Yeah.
She said, you know, she said, people won't go near them. So, I think she's 14 now. So I had asked her, does she go to school? So she don't know. No, she doesn't go to school. So I said, well, maybe I could help a bit. So when I went back this year, which I did, she set up, the teacher set up that she went to a school near here because she was on drugs with the AIDS. So she couldn't come out of the dark, you know, where she lived. And it is beautiful where she lives on Lake Victoria. And so this time I went back, she'd been ill, she'd had malaria. So I took a net for her. But when I seen her, she was all nice and clean, and she's going to school, and she's a prefect. And okay, she's 3 years behind. But it was lovely just to see her. And what we done is we had a whole day with her. And we took her for a meal. And they only eat once a day. And they love Irish potatoes.
Irish potatoes?
Yes, that's what, and they're lovely. But they just boil them and put them in oil, oil of sort. But that's with every meal. And then they have bananas cooked, you name it, any way you can. And I love bananas, but not the way they do them. But, as they say, and then they have a white mash, so, and they have tea.
Banana tea.
Pardon?
Banana tea.
And they are tea, but they're coffee drinkers more than tea drinkers. It's very rare you see them, when you ask for tea, you look at you quite, because they put it with a spoon like we used to.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. You don't have tea bags.
No.
And it's all float on the top. And they put ginger in it, and I can't stand ginger.
No.
But I had 3 days of this tea with ginger in. Okay. Oh, God's good.
You got over it.
Yeah. Oh, God's good.
I was looking after your stomach.
Yeah. That's what it's for, you're right, actually. Yeah. But it was lovely, and she was lovely. But when you have a meal there, as I say, you get, she says a piece of chicken, it's that big.
Yeah.
And the fish is the same. It's only when you go out, like when we went for a meal with this girl, he had a large fish with heads and tails on, and it was beautiful. And we had chips with it, and she ate them, and then I give some of mine, and I thought, that you could see she was so hungry, you know, thought of it. But she's a lovely girl. But as I say, but then, I stayed with the minister, and then, we had prayers in that one day, and all these ladies come in all the regalia to see the bishop, and his English was really good, and he went round blessing us, and we had a service and that. And then the next day he took me, and all the ministers, they had a great big meeting of some kind. And then what we done is all the wives and the ministers' wives, we all went to a school, and the school gave us meals, and then we said prayers and that. I said, but I must say to you what I thought was funny. When you looked around the room at the ministers, believe it or not, they're all on the phones.
No.
And you thought, this man is standing up, you know, talking, and they're sitting. And I thought, I didn't think I'd see that.
Yeah.
But they all phone mad over there, because that's all they've got, really, I suppose. And they didn't have communication. They don't have lights of a night.
No.
So the phones are the lights of a night.
Right.
Sort of thing. So then I was brought back then, back to the orphanage. We had a stay for about 2 days. And we just met different people coming. You know, they talk different churches and that. And then what happened then was... But you know what, I forgot half of this.
It's all right,
it's all right. But as I say, I love the way they are, and the beautiful people. But I was the bishop's wife asked me to go out with her to this church. Well, it was 6 hours to this church. I'll never forget it. The potholes and everything. And the heat was horrendous. Anyway, we get out there to the church, and she was talking about, you know, all these children, what they were having, and she doesn't want this. So, but the women, I found the women really didn't want to know. There was only a couple of them there. And then we were, drove them back again, 5 hours again. And then, as I say, I was picked up early evening, and I was taken to another hotel for cold water. But at least I could get washed and that.
Yeah.
And then I was the next day. Yeah, I met these people from Singapore. They were lovely people, and they come to see. They had been in touch with the orphanage,
right.
And they come to see how things were going.
Yeah.
So for the next couple of days, I travelled with them a lot, and we went to different places. But the last place we went to, and I've been, over the years, I must admit, I've been to some really bad places, but this one took the ticket.
Yeah.
It was on the water, Lake Victoria, and it was a fishing village. And this kind gentleman from Singapore is going to send two vans over full of medication and that to help them, and he wants them to go around, you know, Uganda, helping people. And what he's done is he's took this gentleman there to introduce him to the police. So the police we went to the police, and the reverend explained what he was doing. And the policeman said, well, you're wasting your time here. He said, because here, he said, all you get is prostitution, alcoholism, and there's all these children, and it was so dirty, the smell. The zombie leap because the fish were all over the floor. Just leave them dried over the floor. And this woman from Singapore, which is supposed to be so clean, you could see, she thought, oh, I've seen not like this. I said, well, I've seen things, but this takes the ticket. And I don't care, because this policeman was so down. He said it was not to find the men going out in the boat, not coming back, and finding the bodies in the sea. And as if that was just normal, you know, sort of thing. So I walked around and took some photos of the children, because children are lovely. Because they did not used to wipe people, and you could actually see it, they were running away. Because
yeah.
They'd come up and go, hello, and they'd look at me, and then they'd run away. We'd had that a couple of years before, the first time we went up to the mountains, and the children didn't want a nose.
Yes.
And then the glasses on top of a donut.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So the children were running away. But it was funny to see, because I hadn't seen it for such a long time. But then from there, we were brought back again into Kampala. From Kampala, you've got to go to Entebbe to play out. So I stayed in Kampala with these people, and for the first time, we had a nice little place we could stay. And they had one room, and I had the other. And then we just discussed, because overnight, all the electricity goes off. You can sit and eat your tea, and it goes on. When I was with the bishop, we were having this big tea, and I turned round, and it was pitch black, and she just got up and walked out the room, and I'm going, so it's nothing there for the electricity to go off. But I met some of the children that over the years we've supported, me and my family. So it was nice. One of the young men that came, he's an electronic engineer. A girl we don't, she's a nurse. So they're all doing well. So one was a banker, but he lived in Tanzania. He got to Tanzania. But Isaac has this thing that when you're a student, and when he invites you back, you bring everything with you, the drinks. But I must tell you, I was invited to this wedding. Now, this wedding was supposed to start at 12 o'clock. 3 o'clock we got there. 900 people at this wedding. Never seen anything. All the glitter you could ask. Seats and everything. But you're not going to believe this when I tell you. But this is the truth. You never even got a drink. You never got nothing to eat.
cheap wedding.
Cheap wedding, yeah.
And all he'd done is to come in, and they all danced, and everyone else danced, and then he had a part where they all spoke, yeah. You know, different things they spoke about. And then what they'd done is the families come up, and they give them, he got a goat, so that was fine. And he had some chickens, so that was fine, because he's got a farm.
Yeah.
And then they all come up dancing like this, in a line, and they give him money.
Nice.
And there's a man next to the bride and the groom, and he's got the bag, and he's putting the money in the bag.
Yes, yes.
In the bag.
That's why you invite a lot.
Yeah? So I was with this couple, you see, so we always had bottles of water. Yeah. I've got to take it no matter where you go. So this gentleman said, "Oh, Louise, I can't take it no more. I'm so hungry." And I bought a packet of crisps. We'd had the crisps. And he had like 15 bridesmaids with men,
yeah.
You know, couples.
Yeah.
So one of his wife was one of them. I was glad I wasn't. So he said, "What are we going to do, Louise?" He said, "I can't take much more." I said, "Oh, wait a minute." So they had, what they'd done is they'd made cakes, you know, wedding cakes.
Yeah.
But there was 20 of them.
So 20 wedding cakes?
Yeah, 20 wedding. They came up like that and then they went down like that.
Yeah.
So they cut the cakes and the bride and the groom, and they'd gone away, and these two teachers were giving you cakes. That's the only thing they had, was these wedding cakes. So he had cut it. It was ginger. And I was the same, but what he was. I said, "Wait a minute." He went, "What, Louise?" I said, "Stay there." So I were up. And I said, "Can we have two pieces of cake? Because we're dying." So the teacher knows me. She went, "Oh, yeah." So I went back and I gave it to the man. And he was saying, "Do you know what? You saved me life." He said, "I've never been so hungry in all my life." Are we really? Because this is like 8, 9 o'clock in the night.
Yes.
And we've got all that time.
Yes.
You know, without anything to eat. Yeah. But it was lovely because they all got up dancing then.
Yeah.
And you see them all in the traditional. But a lot of the young ones are like here. We had the skirts up to there with the big heels. But what was funny was, we were on this big field, and this field was like that. Well, I couldn't walk on it. And these had these heels, and it felt like this. But it was lovely to see. Yeah, and then we left there, and then we went back to Kampala, where I stayed. And I'd done something I'd never done before. I actually booked into a proper hotel.
Oh.
Just for one night to come home so I could rest.
Yeah.
And wasn't that, do you know what? That was the only shower, hot shower, I'd had in all that time there.
Yeah, we went around.
Yeah. But they are lovely people, and yeah. You know.
Thank you.
You know, they're so kind. I've got all kinds of presents, a bag. And I was supposed to come home empty-handed. And I come home with a bag full of, a case full of presents he's got me.
Yeah.
So they are the lovely people, you know.
Yeah.
I think I'm honoured that I can go out and see yes. people like this. I'm blessed.
Thank you.
Thank you.